Welcome and good evening, everybody. Welcome to our annual evening of inspiration. It's a great honor for the Kollel to be able to present the Rabbanim Chashuvim of our community, to inspire us with Divrei Chizuk and to start us with words of inspiration before the awesome day of Rosh Hashanah. And it's a delight to be called to partner with the Rabbanim and the shuls that they represent. That was mentioned that we merit to partner with throughout the year. And it's with great appreciation that I recognize the work that we're able to do, and that they've opened up their shul to the Kollel. And it's really a testimony of the shared mission that we have, the love that they have for the tzibur, and determination to provide them with as many opportunities of limud haTorah as possible. And it's greatly appreciated the trust that they give to us to do the avodas haKodesh, the social work that we do within their shul, to touch their members in through the learning that we do. And on a personal note as well, all the Rabbanim here that are partners with us tonight, that was a personal character, not just professionally for the Kollel, but their deep friendship and chizuk and etzva that they've provided for me. And the chuz to partner with them is a wonderful evening. I'd like to mention my name as a singer from Mendezvah to Israel, and the programs that we do there, Sunday night, the Shabbaton that we do, the Father and Son learning, Rabbi Rosenbaum from Shomrei Emunah, the programming that we do there, the wonderful relationship that we have with the shul. And I would also like to officially welcome and greet for the first time officially, on behalf of the Kollel, Rabbi Rhein. Many of us have got to know Rabbi Rhein, and it's a great chuz, very precious for the people in the shul, the community, to have somebody, to have found somebody of such great caliber, a Talmud Chacham of the highest level, and somebody who is just imbued with Avos Habrius, who has such a history and experience of reaching out, doing heroes, outreach to all Jews throughout the spectrum. And everybody in the shul will be here so appreciative to have found somebody that's worthy of carrying on the special mission of outreach. Tonight, I'd like to speak about some special opportunities that we try to find during the day. We all know that Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Judgment, one of the prominent themes of Rosh Hashanah, and we come in front of God in judgment. We want health, we want long life, parnasa, good things for our family, and we do tshuva to try to merit it. We find throughout Chazal, besides, in addition to tshuva, that we look for tchusim, for powerful merit that we could come in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with, and say, look at Kadosh Baruch Hu, look what I'm doing, and through that tchus, we should be able to be able to begin to have a judgment with tshuva for goodness. I want to highlight, really to go through a little quickly, because the many wonderful rabbanim that we have, they'll be speaking after me. I sort of committed myself to the title, The Five Secrets, to get a sweet judgment. So I'll try to go through them quickly, but each one really is something to delve into and to think about on your own. The first one, secret, roughly it's not so much a secret, is Limud HaTorah, the Torah study. A special chut, Chazal say that Torah nigmar u'matzva, that Torah protects and it shelters, and it's a powerful shield for us in din. We're all familiar with segulis. You go to Rebbe, this and that, he tells you to read this Tanaya, to say this little tefillah, this kapitel. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shaar Dalim, he talks about tshuva there and being getting a good din, particularly without any chas v'shalom yisurim, any afflictions. And he says, he highlights Talmud Torah. And he says over there that Talmud Torah is connected kulam. We say it every day. We're being able to find a new meaning in that. Not just that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so prominent, is so meaningful, but the force that it provides and protects all the schoolists that any mitzvah would have, that Rabbeinu Yonah says, is nichlal, is included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If somebody tries to lure you out of the Beis Medrash with a certain segula, you could refer them to this Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah is a very just secret of Rabbeinu Yonah, of Limud HaTorah. It's something that provides us with protection and schut and merit and din. Neshmona Esrei every day. We say Ashivenu Avinu L'Torah Tzacha V'Karvenu Malkenu L'Avoy Tzacha V'Hacha Divenu V'Tshuva Shlema L'Tanacha. Return us our Father to Torah and bring us close to your godly service. Ashivenu V'Tshuva Shlema and return us and tshuva and repentance. How do we start our plea for tshuva? With Torah. The Nefesh HaChayim, the Shaar Dalim, notes this and says that Torah, only in Torah, we have true building blocks for tshuva. As well, it is noteworthy that we use the name, we refer to Hashem as Avinu when we talk about tshuva. Hashivenu Avinu L'Torah Tzacha. Because tshuva endears us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that connection to Torah that we're like children. We have that fatherly relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. What does this mean practically for us? Try to find another 5 minutes. Open up a Mishnayim, a Chumash, a small paper. Make a chavusa for a short time after davening. Commit to shir. Start to make tshuva for a short time. And this way we can fulfill and unleash this powerful mitzvah of Torah. Second secret. As we approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu humbly, with hachna, with humility, we realize that we're not entitled to all the goodness that Hashem provides with us, but it's only through His beneficence that He provides us with life, with health. And this is summed up in the shlichus that we say. When we daven to Hashem, Tatzilenu Mikol Hazeres Achzariyei, He should save us from all types of degrees. He lechal lezad eimenu tuyos, because our eyes are only to you. We don't have any tzuchusim. We don't have any merits. We don't have any friends in powerful places that are able to protect us. But you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know of your love for us. You know how much you treasure us as a people, as a son, as a daughter. And we put our hope in you. The Rambam, in Pirush Mishnayos, in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. The lesson here is so startling. And he's talking here, explaining the mission about why you don't say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. Even though the other Yom Tovim, you say Hallel. He says it's a day of din, a day of judgment, it's not a day of levity, it's an awesome day. And he says it's a day of hachna, humility, hachad umar mi Hashem, and fear from Hashem. The year of Imenu, fear from Him. And he continues, he says these words, Umivra Umanoi Eila. The sanctuary we flee into sanctuary a love to Him. So the day of Rosh Hashanah induces fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens when you fear a person? Where do you run? You run away. What does the Rambam say? We run to Hashem. We say, Hashem, I'm so afraid. I don't have any zechuyos. I don't have any mitzvahs. Who's going to protect me? You're going to protect me. I'm going to run to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim to his children, for B'nai Yisrael, is inexhaustible. Undefeatable. It doesn't end. When you beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that, that's a tremendous chus for us to have all the blessings of our heart. A practical implementation of this is just to take 2 minutes to reflect in our heart, to feel that dependence, that all that we have is just from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because of our own merit, our own power, our own ingenuity. And ask Hashem that He should continue His graciousness and kindness to us. The third secret, to be forgiving, overcoming our feelings. This may be the hardest one. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin says, "Kol ha'mavir al midotav, mavir eloy min ha'shamayim." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that somebody overcomes his own feelings. He's insulted. He's hurt. Somebody embarrassed him. He hands the cause. He overcomes himself. He lets go. He forgives. That unleashes an unbelievable, powerful, and potent force. That in Shemayim, they look at you and they say, hey, you know, you did some events over here. We're going to have to make a sentence. But what do we say? What do they say in Shemayim? That this person, he was Mazar and his Midas. He looked away. He forgave, even when he didn't need to. The Gemara, after bringing down the structure, brings the story of Rav Huna, the raiser of Yeshua. Chalash, he got sick. Rav Papa went to visit him, and he saw it wasn't good. He told the Chavra Kadisha to start getting the Tachlitim ready. Sidisu lays Hadvakta, prepare the Tachlitim. In the end, he got better. The Papa was astounded. He inquired as to his recovery. And the Gemara says that in Shemayim they said, Hayo v'loy mukim v'nilay, Laitakumu behadei. Shenemar neisei avoin v'oivar al pesha. Since he wasn't makbid on his things and his matters, people that infringed on him, insulted him, took from him, so we too in Shemayim, we won't be makbid. Who do we extend this to? Somebody that extends himself. Sometimes it's hard. It can be a very difficult thing. But when we realize, however difficult it is, from the commensurate power that we're unleashing, maybe a bit tempted to do that. And they say, this is a good time to cash in on this powerful gift and opportunity. I could use that going within. I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at me like that, to look away from my abilities. A practical application. Think of somebody that's hard to forgive. Somebody that you have a grudge against. And forgive him. You feel good about it afterwards too. Or maybe you forgave him already, but you don't talk to him anymore. Pick up the phone. Wish him a good PR. The Shana Tova. And Shemayim will take note of that. And that will accompany you in the day of judgment. And from Shemayim they'll look away. They'll look more forgivingly at you. Fourth secret. To be part of the tzibur. To be part of the congregation. Says, you know, there's many things brought down. You should prove it down. Not the prize, I think. To get an aliyah. Try to get an aliyah on Yom Neroy. Brought down that there's a cultural mantra. The great Buddhist cultural mantra. He was master not to take an aliyah. He didn't want to be set apart from the tzibur and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He was scared of the extra scrutiny that it would bring. Who's that walking up to the Torah? To be part of the tzibur, to become one with the shul, with your chaverim, with your chevra, that affords protection. The Megala Amukos in the Sefer says that the gematria of tzibur it equals rachamim. If you're skeptical, like I am, you work it out, and it comes out to 298. Tzibur, there's the kaya, there's the force, there's the power in the tzibur. You're part of Klal Yisrael. There's the halakha in Klal Yisrael. The Kaddish Baruch Hu protects us. You're part of his arm. How do we accomplish that? From the Chazik and Sultan Akhtus. We reach out to the tzibur. We volunteer. We can come to shul 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early to make sure the chairs are set up. There are wonderful organizations in the community. To call Dieter Coleman. Say, how can I help? I go to the hospital before you're not putting food to anybody. These are things that connect us to the tzibur. We're not your tzibim anymore. We're part of the congregation. We're part of the people. We're worrying about others. We say the seal of the mantra of the Kimchaim. Keeping alive the mantra. Make yourself indispensable, Hashem. Your people need me. Who's going to care for the elderly? Who's going to care for the sick? Who's going to do the chesed? Who's going to set up the kiddush? This is chukra from Din. To be part of the tzibur, to be the chazir to the tzibur, to look for ways to strengthen the community, the shul, the organizations that we have. Number 5. It's interesting. This is the Gemara in Shabbos. It says, Kol Hadam L'Kavtzot, Ben Naisal L'Kavtzot. If you judge your sin favorably, did something. It doesn't seem to be so correct, so such propriety. It doesn't seem like such a good guy. But your Zion will have his cloak. Yeah, maybe it was because of a certain context that he did that. In Shemayim and heaven, they take note. And they judge him with how to vote. They judge him meritoriously. Rabbeinu Yonah brings this down in Sefer HaYura. And he says, V'havi zan et kol adam with how to vote. L'man yaviru min ha-shemayim al-pashaka. In order that from heaven, they'll look over your sins. They'll look away. V'yadam with how to vote. And judge you meritoriously. It's interesting to know the powerful force that this unleashes. We spoke already about Kol HaMazal Migaisav. So there, this person is going the extra mile. He's insulted, he's hurt, the other person caused him harm. Maybe halachically he has a right to hold on to that grudge, perhaps. But he forgives. Being down with Habsot is a mitzvah in the Torah. He's obligated to do that. But yet this mitzvah comes with a sweet power and potency. Now Victor Miller asked a very insightful question. He says, how is a shayla? What does it mean? How is it possible that a shemayim their son who would come close? They judge him favorably. We on earth, we don't know why everybody does something. We can't know the context. We don't know what the people's heart, what their background is. But I call this Baruch Hu is Yedeya Hakol. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. What does that mean? He judges somebody favorably. He knows what the person did. He knows why he did it. But Victor Miller says, the shayresh, the root of this mitzvah, is really Abba Kabir, is looking at your friend lovingly, with loving eyes. When you look at him lovingly, when you have Abba, you have love in your heart for your fellow, invariably you'll see him in a different context. You'll see him sympathetically. You'll see the whole person. Will be able to judge in favor of him. And soon she might even know why he's so vivid. But they look at him with fatherly eyes. They look at him sympathetically. Mitigating circumstances. Because this person looks at his friend. Just like that. The practical implementation of this. Think of somebody that you have a negative impression on. Be the guy that's obviously next to you in shul, your neighbor, your kindness on him. Try to soften your impression a little bit. Try to think about why he may do that. Think about his background. Give it a little context. And if you dare, you'll think about all the minors that he has that maybe you don't have. And you'll see him in a new light. And probably, you'll come to the conclusion that your new perspective of him is more accurate than your old perspective. And when we do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn will look at us lovingly and judge us mercifully. So, perhaps you could keep some of these things in mind and implement them a little bit. They'll accompany us. And the Yom HaDin, the Kaddish Baruch Hu will look down on his precious people, on his cherished nation, and see their wonderful might and taizen, their good deeds, and judge them for the year of the taiva and bracha. It's my honor now to call on the rabbi of the Mount Hermon congregation, Rabbi Mordechai Lang.
Good evening. Good evening. Many thanks to Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Winter, for leading the Kollel all year, and of course for organizing this beautiful event. He discussed five secrets. There is a sixth. And as a newcomer to the community, I can share that it's called Silver Spring. Our family is extremely grateful that of all the places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have landed us, He landed us here. From the shilas that I've gotten, from the community organizations that I've just gotten a taste of, and from the esteemed Rabbanim, tremendous personalities, each in his own right, it's just a bracha she'ein l'shayir. And I publicly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his kindness to us. There's a fairly universal minhag on Rosh Hashanah called the simanim, the signs, the good omens, based on the Gemara, it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Simanam yotzohi, a good omen makes an impact. And so we're told, Yehi rogil lemeichal, a person should accustom himself to eat, according to one version, even to see. And Purei Shata on Rosh Hashanah, Kara, Gubya, Karsi, Silka, Tamri, a gourd, a leek, beet, date, different fruits or vegetables that by their names can be conjured up to have good connotations for us. Our enemies should be cut off. Our merits should be increased. The Ramah continues and he tells us of what is probably the most popular of all the omens. Tapuach mosuk bidvash. An apple sweetened by honey. We're told that you can make up your own omens. If you come up in the language that you're familiar with something that has good connotations, great. I knew a woman who was having trouble with her teenage son. He was just plain lazy as she saw it. She went to the market, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and she bought a bushel full of mangoes. And she served them. I knew of a man who was having trouble with Parnosa, Erev Rosh Hashanah. He did his own shopping. A box of raisins, head of lettuce, bag of celery. Rosh Hashanah night, he recited with great kavanah, lettuce, have a raisin, celery. The question that I'd like to explore though, good omen, isn't it a violation of the prohibition of nichush? The Pasuk in Parashat Kedoshim, Lo Tanachashu, you should not act on the basis of omens. Black cat, horses in front of you, right there. That's not Jewish. And the Meiri, among others, asks, what's the difference? We're so busy in Rosh Hashanah with omens. Why is it permitted? I'd like, therefore, to perhaps clarify what the simanim of Rosh Hashanah are and what they aren't. There's an issur in the Torah called Lo Senachasu. There's a simon in Yeridaya dedicated to it. Simon Kufay and Tes. Pichi Nofla Miti. Bread fell from my... Looks like a bad omen. Things aren't working. I was trying to eat and it didn't work. Masri Miyadi. I was getting out to go on a journey, my walking stick in hand, and it fell out of my hand, I don't know why. Lo lochesh lo derech, lo lahaskil v'malacha. The person doesn't want to go on the trip now, he doesn't want to start the job he was going to do. Prohibited. Not allowed to take action based on such things. Claiming that the event reveals the future is prohibited. Many Mepharshim say, because it's false. False. So it fell. So what? But other Mepharshim say that there may very well be something to this Nichush and to the astrology and to all the other stuff that people in the world speak about, but there's one critical reason why you're not allowed to act based on that, and that's because Ein Mazel B'Yisrael. The Jewish people are governed by different rules. All of that futuristic stuff might be true, but one heartfelt mitzvah can override everything. And you're back on good terms. You're nervous. Do a mitzvah. Don't start playing into the futuristic stuff. We just had it in Hausha. Plus it says that the righteous farmer comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Sikurim. And he says, Hashifam in my own Kashacha. Gave that us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ubarei, and give us a bracha. Rashi and Tashas Vayera comment, the word Ashifa always means lara'ah. It's always bad. It's a gaze of destruction. The angels looked at Sodom, they're about to destroy it. Ashifa is a very negative word. Why does the righteous farmer come in and say, Ashifa, and give us a bracha, give us a blessing? And Rashi answers, yeah, because the righteous farmer has just done Trumas Maitis, he tithed his crop, he gave the charity, he's confident. He walks in and he says, Ashifa. With the power of a mitzvah, you can overcome anything. Even if the destiny, the future was going to be negative, I don't care. I walk in with my mitzvah, and I walk in with confidence. Simonim are very different than Nichush. There's an amazing passage in Navi, the book of Malachim, in which Yoash, Melech Yisrael, Yoash, the king, not particularly a righteous man, not particularly on the good list of the Navi, but he comes to Elisha for a blessing. Yoash is encountering a vexing problem from Aram, an enemy. They're pillaging the Jewish settlement again and again, and he can't seem to put them in check. And he comes to Elisha for a bracha, for advice. Vayomer l'melech Yisrael, Elisha addresses the king. Harkev yodcha al hakesef. Put your hand on the bow. A weapon, bow and arrow. Put your hands on the bow. Vayisa Elisha yodav ayidei hamelech. And Elisha lifted his hand and he caressed the king's hand. He covered them. He bonded with them. Yirei, he says, shoot the arrow now. Vayor, and the king shot the arrow. And Elisha responded, it's a good omen. Chet Shua Lashem, it's an arrow of salvation. Ba'aron, in this enemy that's pillaging the settlement. And Elisha continues. And he tells the king, take the rest of your arrow. And the king picks them up. And Elisha says, ha ha, bang them on the ground. Vayach sholosh pa'amim. And the king banged 3 times. I guess he knew about a chazakah. Vayamod. And then he stopped. Vayitzof Ishu'elokin, and Elisha got angry. I taught this to a high school class once, and they looked up and said, Elisha never gets angry. You look through, it's hard to get Elisha angry. Elisha, at least the way he comes across in Novi, he comes across as one of the most benevolent. He's always saving people. Vayitzof, he got angry. He says, I told you to bang! Chole, so say 5, 6 times, you're going to do an omen, do it right! With a gishmak! You bang 3 times? Elisha says, you're only going to conquer Aram 3 times. Had you banged 5, 6 times, you would have put an end to Al-Qaeda. To put it in perspective. But you didn't do it. I can't help you. You only banged 3 times. Why isn't it Nichush? It's an omen. It's a very big difference. Nichush, it's to find out the future and to think you're subject to that future. To stand humbly in the face of future. Simona Milsa, he is very different. Simona Milsa, he needs to change the future. It's the power of the Jew to walk into a new situation that's challenging, that's difficult. And say, mitzvahs trump all. I will do a mitzvah. And there's a very powerful mitzvah that we're all engaged in when we walk into Rosh Hashanah. It's called optimism. There's a great question that the Mefarshim asks. The halacha states, mechabsim u'mistafrim. We bathe, we take haircuts before Rosh Hashanah, we're walking into a yomtiv. Lobshim levonim, we dress like it's a holiday. Oslim, shosim, usmeichim, we eat, we drink, we're happy, we wish each other yom tov, good yom tov. How do you do that? It's a yom hadin, it's a day of judgment. And the wording of the tour is awesome. The Tour writes, Anu betuchim, we're assured, bechasto yisparach, in the kindness of Hashem, listen closely, sheyasa lanu nes, that He'll make a miracle for us. Challenging? Could be. You have a relationship that's been shattered. Really extreme. And you want to make up. So you arrange a meeting. How do you walk into that meeting? You walk in meek. And it's going to be a meek meeting. I'm not sure if we should really make up. I don't know. You wronged me. I wronged you. I'm not sure. Or do you walk into that meeting with confidence? We had so many good times together. So much goodness. I have so much confidence in you. I feel myself, I have so much to offer. Let's work this out. You walk into that meeting with a smile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles back. Our attitude is based on a mazel yisrael. We're not subject to astrology. We're not subject to silly things like my bread fell out of my mouth. You worry. Do a mitzvah. You're going on a trip. Put money in a bushel. There's no nichush here. On the contrary, this confidence that Hashem gave us Torah, and Torah is powerful. On Erev Rosh Hashanah and Shlichus, we say it most beautifully. Hashem Shofteinu. Hashem is our judge. Hashem Malkeinu. Hashem is our king. Hu Yoshiyenu. He is going to save us. Elisha's words echo in every generation. I told you to bank and it would be a good omen. Do it with gusto. It's a good omen. And I'm busy with Simona because attitude counts. Because if I sit down Rosh Hashanah with confidence, we're going to work this out. I know there's a lot to work out. Hashem gave us Aseres Yemei Tshuva, 10 days of repentance. He didn't give us 10 days. You know, you bring your car to the mechanic and he tells you it's going to take you 10 days to fix your car. You get a little nervous. Hashem tells you it's going to take 10 days. But don't worry. You're on track. If you do the system of the 10 days, it's going to work. And at the end, by Yom Kippur, we're going to blow that shofar and we're going to say heartfelt. This is a new relationship. L'shana habov Yerushalayim. There's a really good chance that Mashiach come and meet you. Ultimately, our attitude is summed up beautifully by the Yiratzon of Rosh Hashanah Mount. Yiratzon, may it be Hashem's will, Shatachad Eflonu, that He renew for all of us, Shana Tova Umesuka, a good and sweet new year. Thank you.
Inspiring word. I'd like to call now on Rabbi Rosenthal. Sure. Really my pleasure to be able to join with you this evening and also to express our thanks again to Shomer Muna for the wonderful work of the Greater Washington Kollel and Rabbi Winter. We benefit very much from the programs, whether it be here, whether it be at our show. If I may, I just want to point out for one moment that a lot has happened here in White Oak in the past year. And obviously, this has been a very challenging year, both personally and professionally for Rebbe Winter. And I think it's the most beautiful and inspiring of things that Kollel Baruch Hashem has grown and flourished its programming and activities in the past year. And I think it's a tremendous statement on Rebbe Winter at the Rosh Kollel, and it's hard to think of a greater chus l'ilui nishmas, his esteemed father's neshama. Also, just want to mention how much of a pleasure and an honor it was to hear Rebbe Rhine's words of chizuk and adorim by myself. Benefited from them very much, and Yiratzon, he should be Zolka, and the White Oak community should be Zolka to share their very Zolka for many years to come. We famously refer to Akedat Yitzchak in the Rosh Hashanah davening numerous ways. And this famous episode of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his son Yitzchak to God is a tremendous merit for Klal Yisrael. But besides being a tremendous merit, it would seem to be a tremendous lesson for us. If this is held as this ultimate model of one of our forefathers serving Hashem, what can we learn from it for our own Avodah Hashem in this very significant time? And I don't merely have the oratorical skills of Rabbi Winter. He has five secrets. I want to focus on two lessons. That's a little bit less. There's an interesting phrase in the Sukkim leading up to the Akedah. As Abraham is going, it says, Vayarech ha-makom merachok. He saw the place on which the Akedah would take place, from a distance. What's the significance of saying he saw it from a distance? Different approaches in the Mefarshim, but the Sfas Emes explains that that phrase, to see something from a distance, has a certain connotation to it. I hate to say this, I hope I'm not making anyone nervous, but I can see that clock from a distance. And what that means for me is that I know there's a clock there, but I'm not really clear what time it is right now. And that, we have a different type of clock in Kabbalah, what can I tell you? But that connotation of that phrase, Vayarech ha-makom merachok, to see it from a distance implies that Abraham understood that he had a task, understood what he was supposed to do, vaguely, but didn't fully grasp it. How could it be? How could it be that I'm supposed to sacrifice my son Yitzchak? How could it be? This was such a great Kiddush Hashem. I waited so long to have this child. So many people were inspired by the fact that I was God's messenger and servant, and here I had this miraculous child born to me. It doesn't make any sense. And of course, we'll explain that to Shah in the introductory pasuk of the Mitzvah. Hashem says to Abraham, please take your son Yitzchak. Because rationally, the Mitzvah doesn't seem to make any sense. And even though it was only Vayarech ha-makom merachok, he saw it from a distance. It was vague. He got it, but he didn't really get it. He kept on going. And that's really what Mesilas Nefesh means. When we talk about being devoted to Avodas Hashem, being devoted to God's service, what do we think that means? So for most of us, listen, we all have room to grow. For most of us, what that means is, you know, there's a mitzvah, that makes perfect sense to me, that speaks very clearly to me, but it's hard work. You know, sometimes I do it well, and sometimes I don't do it as well. So the Mesilas Nefesh is I'm going to do a better job this year. That's wonderful. The Mesilas Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, again, we can't even begin to fathom that text of Akedah Yitzchak, but the Mesilas Nefesh of Avraham Avinu is the mitzvah doesn't make a bit of sense to me. I can't begin to fathom it. And this is what God wants, and this is what I'm going to do. Vayarech ha-makom merachok. Just to give a specific context for a moment, how many times do we find ourselves saying the phrase, most of the time to ourselves, most of the time not to others, I'm not holding there. Right? You tell me a halacha, you tell me an idea, and I think, oh, that would be a really wonderful and powerful thing to implement in my own life, but I'm not holding there. You know what? Sometimes we have to make it our business to hold somewhere. Sometimes that's incumbent upon us. Again, we do have to know where we're at, and we can't try to change our world overnight. But sometimes we have to stretch ourselves a little bit. I think that's one idea of our Kedah Yitzchak. Second point, when you take a step back and look at the story, there's such a strange ending to the story. Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son. He's told he shouldn't sacrifice his son, so he doesn't sacrifice his son. And then he sees a ram. So he sacrifices the ram instead. Vayaleinu Yolod HaKasbano. He brought it as an offering instead of his son. You think of the tremendous challenge of Akedah Yitzchak, and you think of what challenge it is to slaughter a ram that happens to be standing nearby that doesn't even belong to you. it's impassable. What's the benefit of, I told him to not slaughter some, so he won't slaughter some, but what's the benefit of slaughtering a ram instead? It's very interesting, the Sforno on that Pasuk by Alei Olam HaHasano quotes a famous phrase, a famous Pasuk, Dovera Mesdovava, that there's an idea of a person speaking truth in his heart. Avraham Avinu had devoted himself to doing a mitzvah of sacrifice to God. The angel came and told him to not perform the mitzvah that Avraham understood it. To just depart from the mitzvah in entirety would not be true to the internal inspiration which Avraham Avinu held at the moment. And therefore, Avraham Avinu intuitively understood that he couldn't just walk back down the mountain. If God tells him not to slaughter a son, he won't. But he has to slaughter something. Because if one doesn't do that, then one has taken the inspiration of the moment and let it absolutely fritter away. It's an interesting thing. What is the most famous symbol that we have that evokes the memory of Akedat Yitzchak? Clearly blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, the famous idea that was specifically, to whatever extent possible, to blow a ram's horn. The ram evokes memories of Akedat Yitzchak. The ram is about what didn't happen. That's what the ram is about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us great merit because Avraham Avinu didn't slaughter his son. And he slaughtered a ram instead. It's a little bit strange that that's the tremendous emphasis of foot. It's interesting, Rav Hirsch said that, again, there's so many ways to understand the messages behind the Tekiel Shofar. But he says that the core blow that we need to really focus on is the middle blow. That's a longer discussion. We won't go into it now, even though I can't see the clock. I still get the sense. The tkia is a long blow, a directional, inspirational blow. This is the way to follow. The trua breaks things up into pieces. And Rav Hirsch says that that's the key. What we need to do when we hear Tkiyah Shofar is reflect that it's not just about the inspiration, it's not just about, wow, we need to serve God better. It's about the breaking up, taking my life and cutting it into pieces and reshaping it. What am I going to do with that inspiration? If you view Tkiyah Shofar in that way, it's a very interesting idea. That the great Musar, of course, Akedat Yitzchak was a tremendous mitzvah, and Avraham was willing to do it, and God told him not to. But the great mitzvah of Shofar is we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, it's not just that we want to be inspired. We want to take that inspiration and do great things with it. That was the message of Avraham Avinu by Alei Le'olah Tahasana. We think about these two aspects. Devotion, even when things aren't so clear. And taking those moments of inspiration and actualizing them. As the Shem, which is the Zohar, and Fuxi Bach, in the book.
Tel Shnayim and Hamish. Thank you, Rabbi Rosenbaum. Now my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Singer. Give us the Dharma.
It's first of all, it's really a pleasure to be here. It's a big clip to be part of this very special occasion. And once again, I'd like to echo Rabbi Rosenbaum's sentiments that it really is wonderful to be working with Rabbi Winter, and it gives me personally a great deal of pleasure over these last few years to see how the Kollel has grown and the Kollel has prospered and came here. And also, I just want to again welcome Rabbi Ryan to the general Silver Spring community, and I think that this is definitely a win-win situation for all of us, And I wish you great success in the future. And of course, it's always great to be here with Rabbi Rosenbaum. So it's great to see you. I think I've covered most people. So it has been a slightly amusing note. So we were trying to pick the topic for this year's talk. So last year was related to Tekiah Shofar, the eternal sound of the shofar. So I thought that maybe this year's talk was a year later, still eternal. But we decided to go with something a little different. So I wanted to go ahead and speak about Tekiah Shofar in terms of the aspect, one of the kavanas that Rishad Yagon, the Sal, brings down is that when we hear the sound of the shofar, it really represents the coronation of the king. We are crowning Hashem as our Melech. And I happened to be learning recently in the Ruach Chaim some thoughts about perhaps how we are feeling at that moment of coronation. And the Ruach Chaim brings down in his commentary on Perkei Avos, this is Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and he brings down a Zohar. And the Zohar says, each year of the each year, there is fear and there is fear. Ikar a year, but the main fear that we should have is the Medchal begin the Yihu Rav, that we should fear the Ribbono Shalom because he is the master, the Shalit, and he is the ruler, the Ikar Vasharsha, the Cholam. And he is the root and the source of all the worlds. He is the source of all existence. So in this Zohar, the Nefesh HaChaim explains that you really have a sense of what the emotional environment that we should be feeling at the time of Shofar in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the presence of the King. There's different flavors of Yira. There's different flavors, if you will, of fear. There's the flavor of fear that's associated with the Ribbono Shel Olam being the Rav, being great and being awesome. That his greatness is transcendent of our ability to grasp it. And just by virtue of his mightiness and his power and his chesed, we are just in awe of his presence. So it's a Yira of Harumam, a Yira of fear and awe of his greatness. Coupled with that is the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a shalit. He is a ruler. He is capable of dispensing reward, and he is capable of dispensing punishment. And as we stand in Rosh Hashanah and daven for our lives, we are very conscious of that capability, and we are afraid. We are afraid. And finally, there is another flavor of fear. He's the Ikar V'Shorsha of the Cholam. He is the Mafarnas. He is the one who sustains us. He sustains all worlds. He gives us Parnassah. And so there's a fear that he will move away from us and that he won't stay connected to us. There's a fear of disengagement. So these are the kinds of feelings that we will be experiencing when we hear the sound of the shofar. What do we do with this fear? What do we do with these emotions? What does this engender in us? What sort of actions? What do we feel? What should we be feeling? So, perhaps it's appropriate to feel very much like the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, and very much as Rabbi Rosenbaum alluded to with the Akedah Yitzchak, that we hear the sound of the shofar, and we are reminded of the capacity of being Meister Nefesh, that we give our will and our rutzim, we give who we are over to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, no strings attached. And it's very much like the Mishnah, the second parak of Perkei Avos says, Ase Ritzono ki Ritzon Ko, make his will like your will. And then what will happen is Kadesh Yasa Ritzon Ko ki Ritzono. Then he'll make your will like his will. So if we start to go further down and say, okay, what does it mean to make his will like my will? What does that mean? What does it mean for me to do the will of Hashem? And this is something that requires a great deal of thought and a great deal of introspection. And there's a portfolio of action. There's a portfolio of commitment. Some of the things, as Yisrael Salanter would suggest, is lova shemayim. Pick things that are easy to do. Pick things that are within your dalarama. Pick things that are within your nekudas of bechira. And go ahead and make a change. And then, included in this portfolio of change and commitment, are maybe things that are very difficult to do. And so each person has to go ahead and do a great deal of introspection and try and figure out what it means for him and what it means for her to go ahead and truly do the will of Hashem. To take that inspiration, to commit oneself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and to take those feelings and bring them to practice. But I was thinking that there is something associated with truly making Hashem our King, to truly accept upon ourselves the Abdus, our servitude to Him. And I think that the way I would like to introduce the subject comes from a pasuk that we read in this week's parsha, Parshas Nisavim. It says, "V'hayiki yavu alecha kol ha'dvarim ha'elam," and when all these things will happen to you, "habracha v'haklalah," the blessing and the curse, "hashem esati v'sanecha," that I have put before you, "v'hashivosa elavavecha," and then you will return your heart, and you will return, "v'kol ha'goyim ha'shem hedicha," you will come back to Hashem with the tshuva. Okay, so the Mefarshim asked on this, a question I saw from Refran, says, ostensibly this doesn't make a lot of sense. We understand that if the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a klal, if the Ribbono Shel Olam punishes us, so he stops us in our tracks, and it's a time for us to be introspective. It's a time for us to look and examine, what have we done wrong? What have we done right? What's wrong with what I've done right? What am I doing? Why did this happen to me? So that we understand. Hakwala, pain, difficulties, challenges, they lead to tshuva. How is it that a bracha will lead to tshuva? How is it that when Hashem gives us blessing, we will come to do tshuva with the same commitment that if Rahman al-Islam, he would give us klal. So there are a couple explanations. One explanation is that, well, if a person went through a great deal of difficulty, and now they are no longer going through the difficulty, so they'll feel a sense of grace. They'll feel a sense of gratitude. I'm no longer in pain, and so I'm very happy about that. Okay? But I think that there is another sense. This may be even deeper. And the other sense is really what I want to speak to tonight. It's the sense of being grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Being grateful to Him for all of the things that He has given to us. And having that sense of gratitude propel us to be closer to Him. That sense of gratitude cause us to do his rock. I heard a story about the Chafetz Chaim that someone overheard him say. Says, "Ribbono Shel Olam, you helped me, you enabled me to go ahead and write Shmiras Halashon. Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave me the strength and the wherewithal to write the Mishnah Berurah. I feel such a sense of indebtedness to you. What can I do for you now?" Question is, how would we feel if we wrote the Shmiras Halashon and we wrote the Mishnah Berurah? Would we feel a sense of indebtedness to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or would we feel a sense of entitlement that we did something great and therefore, somehow or other, the Ribbono Shel Olam owes us? Or the world owes us? Or everybody owes us? or we have to be mechubis, or we have to, what would our response be? And this, I think, is really the essence of the pasuk of Kol HaDevarim HaEla HaBracha. It's coming to give a mussar. It's coming to say something so important that all of our achievements and all of the things we do and all of the things that we can accomplish, it's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's enabling us to fulfill our targets, to fulfill our purpose and reach our potential. And instead of feeling entitled, we feel indebted. And this is a church of great simcha. This is a service. Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you for allowing me to serve you. Thank you for allowing me to daven to you. Thank you for allowing me to do these mitzvahs. Thank you for all and each and every one of my achievements. To go one step further, if I may, a few weeks back, I actually heard Rabbi Rosenbaum speak, and he quoted a pasuk from Parshas Kisavo. Kisavo is a very, very difficult parsha to listen to. And people, when they lay all 98 klolos that are in Parshas Kisavo, they lay it quickly and they lay it quietly, because it's so hard to hear it. In the middle of these 98 Christmas, there's a pasuk that seems to stand out like a sore thumb. And it says, Tachas v'shir lo avadate et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tov lezuz mirov kol. Why did this happen to you? Why is all of these things happening? Here's the reason. Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, and you didn't serve with a glad and good heart mirov kol. From the abundance of good, mirov kol. From all. From all. Oftentimes we talk. My Balabhatram has heard me say many, many times the words from the Chafetz Chaim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, Hamakom asher ata oimed alav ad kodesh. The land upon, the ground upon which you're standing is holy ground. Chafetz Chaim extrapolated from that purpose to say that all of the issues and all of the struggles that we go through, all of the trials, all of the tribulations, they all have meaning, and they're all important, and they all matter to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're all holy ground. They are all great, noble issues. And in some sense, we should feel grateful because at least we have the consciousness that our struggles are real struggles that speak to the very nature of what it means to be a human being and prevent each and every one of us with the opportunity to do and to grow and to become a thinking person. We daven on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, we say in the Sana Pesach, how awesome is this day. And we pray for our life. We pray for a year of health and good fortune. And we pray that we should be joyful in the following year to again have the opportunity to daven. Remember a story that Rabbi Tversky Zitzal used to say, and I've since learned that it's actually a common joke. But it's a story about two people, and they're sitting in a restaurant, and they're complaining about the food, and they're eating soup. And one person says, takes a bite of the soup, and says, ah, it's too salty. The other person says, yeah, it's too spicy. The other person says, yeah, it's too greasy. The other person says, yeah, it's too watery. The other person says, yeah, it's too cold. And then the other person says, yeah, the portions are too small.
So I think sometimes when we stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam and we make the argument that we want more soup, we want more life, what's the argument that we make? What do we think, Ribbono Shel Olam? I have a lousy job. Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't make enough money. Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm having trouble with my kids. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm having trouble with my family. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm having trouble with my rabbi. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm having trouble with the show. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm having trouble with you. I'm having trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble. And by the way, the portions aren't big enough. I want another year of this. That doesn't strike me as being a very compelling argument. The argument is remorseful. This life that you have given me is beautiful. This life is precious. This heart, this soul, this mind, my ability to be able to relate to you, my ability to daven to you, my ability to learn your Torah, to hear what you want for me to do, my ability to relate to my neighbor, my ability to love the people in my life, my ability to engage these struggles. It's so precious, and it's so beautiful, and I want more. Please, I want more. I've said, again, I'm looking at my balabat and my poor balabat and hearing everything I said again, but they always smile. I remember I said one yitzur many years ago, when I was thinking in the thoughtful moment about people who have passed. And I said to the shul, I said, this is a Shabbos, and you're going to walk home. You're going to walk home with your family, your friends, your parents, your children. You're going to take a walk home from shul like every walk that you've taken home for the last X number of years. And now I will ask a question. 25 years from now, how much would you pay to have that walk home for shul that you are going to have today? How much would you pay? $1,000? $10,000? $50,000? Would you give it everything you own to have that walk home? So this, I think, is the lesson. I'm inspired by a young lady who recently had a bat mitzvah on her shoulder. And she was in a terrible accident. Baruch Hashem, she had a gonzo, a complete and total reversed lane. But she broke both of her arms, and she had her jaw wired shut. And she was a remarkable young woman. She just had a bat mitzvah this past Shabbos. Remarkable, remarkable young woman. And I heard from her mother that her friends would come up to her and would say to her, how does this make you feel? How does this make you feel about the Ribbono Shel Olam and justice in the world and Tzadik Geronimo and Russia the Cold War? What has this done to you? And she responded, it didn't do anything. It just broke my arm and broke my jaw. Everything is still the same. I just want to be able to move my arms and eat solid food. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm still committed. Nothing's changed. So this is a very important lesson. It's interesting to know the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says the Dabar Hashem O Moshe Ponim O Ponim Kashir Dabar Ishal Reyeh. When the Ribbono Shel Olam is describing in Parshat Kisiso, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu face to face. And then there's an interesting addendum to this, like the way a person would speak to his friend, a person would speak to his neighbor.
And I think the Or HaChaim HaKodesh was a little troubled by that last expression, like a friend would speak to his neighbor.
What does that mean?
So he answers like this. He brings down the Mishlei that says, Kamayim Hapanam Hapanam, Kein Lei Ha'adam La'adam. There's a Mishlei that says that when you see another person, it's how you are treated is very much a function of how you project the feelings that you share with another person. As water reflects a face back to a face, so one's heart is reflected back to him by another. This is what it means. And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh was saying that this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam reflected back to Moshe. That Moshe saw the Ribbono Shel Olam and felt such a connection, felt such a curve of hope, felt such humility, such gratitude for everything that he was able to do and who he was, that that feeling of gratitude was reflected back to him. I've always thought that when you have a positive attitude, there's two madregas. There's the Dale Carnegie madrega, the power of positive thinking. If you walk around with terminal crabbiness, everybody's going to get crabby back. It's contagious. But there is a transcendent metaphysical aspect that is beyond Dale Carnegie. The Ribbono Shel Olam will structure the world to accommodate your positive attitude. You will see blessing and feel blessing and have blessing because that is what you're looking for. So these are just some humble offerings that I want to suggest that perhaps we should be thinking about at the time that we hear Kriyas HaShofar, that we coronate the king. I'd like to conclude with just one last pasuk that we say in Tehillim Chaf Zayin. It's Hashem Ari V'Yishi, and the penultimate pasuk is Lulei Hamanti L'Ros B'Tuv Hashem B'Erev Chaim. Were it not that I believe to see the goodness of Hashem, to be optimistic, and to see the goodness of Hashem, to know that it's there, because the previous pasuk talked about how afraid of the Melech is that people are going to rise up against him and overpower him with their negativity. And he says, I would have succumbed to this, Lule Hamanti L'Ros B'Tuv Hashem, were it not for the fact that I constantly looked for the good. And the Baal HaTorim says that Lule backwards is Elul. And this is the Avoda of Elul. The Avoda of Elul is that we should, one critical Avoda, it's to always Hamanti L'Ros B'Tuv Hashem. And if we Hamanti L'Ros B'Tuv Hashem, then we hope and we daven and we pray that the Ribbono Shel Olam will be justify that vision and give us a good, sweet, happy year. Thank you very much.
I'd like to express my deep gratitude to our team of Rabbanim for sharing the warm, inspiring, and hopeful words that God's help will accompany us in the Rosh Hashanah, give us inspiration and nourish. Shachar Kriyu. I'd like to wish everybody Shana Tov and Sukkah, a year of blessing, good health, and all the wishes of your heart. Thank you for joining us tonight. We will have Myers at 9:45 in the lobby. Thank you.